Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there.
So, guys, please do subscribe both channels, as always, and double-check, make sure you are subscribed. Yesterday, we uploaded one speaking about how they don't tell you everything that really could help you necessarily in this matrix when it comes to surviving deadly diseases. They certainly don't openly tell you in a clear, direct manner about our true history. And again, our history is being totally rewritten all the time. And we're speaking about how Brazilian farmers, and maybe they've been pushed a little too far. And we were covering some quakes. There's a lot of activity going on out there. There's rumbles of thunder in the background if you do hear it. I hope you guys are having a great Thanksgiving. At the moment, Cindy and I are doing something I've done before on Thanksgiving, which is counterintuitive to what society does, at least those here in the U.S., and that's fast. And, you know, I don't know. We're going to see how we feel, because we didn't plan for it. Because, again, I don't know. I have a hard time celebrating holidays, which, again, holidays, holy days. Are they really?
That's a really, really good, and it's a fair question to ask too. You know, are they, or are we sending energy into a time that is not so great? But you know what? We're here. So many of us are with family. So I like to focus on the positive part of things. We can pick this apart every day, all day, and any day of the year. But right now, I think the focus should be on our families, having a good time, and just enjoy and be grateful.
Yeah, and again, even though we're in this matrix of illusion, we still have each other. Yeah. You know, we still have each other, which is a beautiful thing. And again, we should celebrate that. And this is only a temporary experience. And again, it's a ride. It's a wild ride at times. You know, again, this is historically celebrating what we're told occurred back on November in the 1621. And I'm laughing because, you know, now the deeper we go into things, the more questioning every little thing, every little detail. But, you know, as a national holiday, it was Abraham Lincoln that proclaimed Thanksgiving Day the last Thursday in November. He's the one that made it a national holiday. And we do have, of course, the history of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War and you know, all that, too. I mean, it's just, we have been through a lot. And here we have Zero Hedge saying, enjoy these moments because the outlook for after Thanksgiving is not promising at all. Mm. Well, thank you very much. This was actually authored by Michael Schneider via the Economic Collapse blog. So, yeah, we do understand that whole concept of a great RE set. And we do see the writing on the wall, the fact that, yes, obviously, you know, all the basics in life is going up, up, up. You know, it's amazing how life imitates art, is it not? Is there any reason why this is the case? Are we loaded with people who are tapping into something and coming up with movies and books and dramas that are unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it and depending on which one, exposing something about this reality that we're experiencing?
Mm-hmm. Or do they already have this information and are they unfolding it before our eyes time after time after time again? Boy, I don't know about you guys, but when I watch a lot of these movies, I have that weird tingly feeling in my body, like, gosh, this feels so familiar.
Yeah. In The Matrix, obviously, you know, we have Neo, Mr. Anderson. So again, like this alternate personality, this person going through a very, very base existence as a number, not necessarily as anything super ordinary. And yet he is super ordinary, and it's just really, it's all about perception. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, reflected in other movies and stories throughout time as well. And really, it is in that level, on that level, it is a statement about us as a whole. And you guys remember V for Vendetta. We were listening to somebody speaking and saying yesterday how, man, this movie is just right on. Strength through unity. Unity through faith. Faith is believing in what you don't know. Faith is just taking somebody else's opinion on something, or what they're saying is something that we should embrace philosophically, perhaps religiously. On we're taking it on their merit without any sort of true sense of knowing. And what does it lead to? Well, in this movie, it leads to a very dystopian future, very much reminiscent of 1984, very much where there's just a set of elite controllers and everybody else is just robotic, sheeple, zombified slaves. Just not really truly living, just kind of surviving. Strength through unity, unity through faith. Well, there is strength in unity, and there is a unity underlying the consciousness of everything. Yet it is not through faith. It's through going within and discovering the real reality. But we have to be brave enough to face that. You guys remember the Truman Show, day 10,909? Isn't that cute? That was a cute movie. Mm-hmm. This guy's life was just a show. Do you ever feel like that in your life? That all this is just kind of a show? Is there something that feels really off? I shared with you many times that for me, you know, it was an out-of-body experience I had when I was 5 years old. And it was really triggered by the death of my brother. And so I found myself like looking down, behind and down on my body and realizing I'm not the body. And I heard a voice telling me this. And I realized now that was my brother because he was still there. Dark City is a great one to watch as well, because in this movie, the hero, you know, he has an awakening. Well, it's a shocking awakening. He kind of thinks he might have killed somebody. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. Something is wrong. And then he realizes that there's basic things he could see that's wrong with the world. Yet nobody else sees it. They're all asleep. Nobody else sees it. They all think he's crazy. And just something as simple as saying, hey, guys, when's the last time you saw the sun? Well, the sun, I don't remember seeing the sun. And, you know, when you go on, like, Drudge Report, scientists increasingly calling to dim the sun. It's no longer science. No, it's not. Why do they want to dim the sun? Why do they really want to dim the sun? Because the sun is triggering our evolution. The sun will set us free. The sun will set us free. Think about that. Think about that. Light is gnosis. Light is information. It is changing us. And of course, we have George Orwell's terrifying vision comes to the screen, 1984. Very cheesy, yeah, but at the same time, really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I really think about the Truman Show a lot and watching what he does throughout the movie and seeing where certain traumas had lined up in his life. So when he is going to... when he is trying to figure out, okay, there's something going on here, a trauma is put before him so that he goes in another direction. So you can see throughout the Truman Show, he's constantly being redirected to make sure he doesn't quite find that freedom, that he can sense it, but he can't find it through trauma.
Oh, there are some great statements on our reality. So in 1984, again, you have a guy awakening. And boy, it's a dreary existence. Again, it's very much like Dark City in some ways, but there are moments in it when he's out in the field, you know, away from the Dark City, and, you know, he has a love interest and everything, but ultimately, the movie is telling us there's no escape in so many ways. And, you know, most people don't realize that they're just becoming riled up in order to basically serve the purposes of the controllers. Life is nothing but propaganda. Propaganda is life. And the propaganda about life doesn't match the reality of life. As you see the pictures of, you know, a blissful, cute, adorable little baby, and everybody is starving and scrambling and hungry and cold and miserable. So dystopian. And then he discovers a book. Oh, and the book's going to set you free because it exposes the whole story. But the book was written by the oppressors. And that just breaks him. It breaks him. When we look at our own history here on the U.S., because we're talking again about Thanksgiving Day. We're talking about the Puritans coming over. We're talking about them getting along with the indigenous people. The indigenous people bringing food. Let's have a party. That's a great idea. That's wonderful. We should all get along. And as we've been talking about Columbus and the realization, oh, well, Columbus discovered the Americas. Yeah, all 150 million people that were here, they were lost. They didn't know where they were. I guess that's what they're trying to say when they say Columbus discovered. But the reality is Columbus discovered a new opportunity to subdue others, create more slavery. And again, as was happening with the Israelites, as the Israelites were going into Canaan and conquering one people after the other, if we take the series of events that happen in the Bible as real, you know, the Canaanites were there, but no, that land was given to the Israelites. By who? By God. Who says so? Well, they said that their God gave it to them. But what about the people that were living there for thousands of years? Their DNA says that they were living there for thousands of years. Well, you know, hey, our God says, you know, again, how humanity is always being manipulated. And the revisionist history is not the reality.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a huge, huge difference between discovering and invading. And sometimes you just have to step back and look at the simplicity of everything and then understand the truth through simplicity. It's where things start to get jumbled and they start to put belief systems in front of our eyes and these laws in front of our eyes, and it starts to really muddy the water. But no, step back, think of it through a child's eyes. It's very simple what's been done.
Campaign 96, yes. John Adams over there representing the Federalists. And then we have Thomas Jefferson representing the Democratic Republican Party. Yes, the Democrat / Republican Party, one and the same. You know, again, we don't recognize history. So many people are just brought up never questioning anything, never going deeper. Just accepting what they've been told because they've been told that. And hey, you know, they have a respect for their parents, a respect for their teachers, respect for their elders. They don't question. But if their teachers, if their elders, if their parents were also duped into believing things that are not true, then it's going to be just pretty much more of the same.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that. And, you know, I sum it up in one word, you know, cognitive dissonance. And it is really kind of a dangerous place to be when you have stuff right in front of you, but you're not able to acknowledge it and understand what it is. But sometimes when we do bring this information to the forefront, people do stop. They do pause and then they start to think about it. But it's like we've been under this spell with all of the programming and all of the shows and all of the indoctrination. And it just makes us, you know, kind of gloss over everything. But now's the time to really pause and start asking.
Yeah, and we see what our kids are taught. You know, this is like from a slideshow, basically. And again, what we're brought up being taught And again, history is written by the victors. So you see, you know, the Federalist Party based on Alexander Hamilton's views, and then the Republican Party, not the same as today's Republican Party, also called the Democratic Republican, based on Thomas Jefferson's views. Now they say, this was in 1792 here that they're quoting, both were rivals. They had the same goal, they say, a free republic. But again, that freedom is not really even an equal, and as we're going to go in, it's just an illusion, as you can see. Parties provide for dissent and choice and the lifeblood of freedom, except for when both parties give you no real choice, because ultimately they are under the same control. And when we look again, this is another way of looking at it. The Federalists favored a national bank. The Democratic Republicans opposed national bank. Of course, it just took longer to get there. We all talked about the Titanic and the going down and the coming about of the Fed. And of course, it might take 100 years. But again, is that but a day in the life of some beings? Yeah, right. And again, choices, powers delegated to the national government, powers reserved to states. You know, there was a difference of opinion that was stated, but in reality, is there really a difference? Is there really a difference? Look at this, the five pillars of aristocracy, as described by John Adams. Wait a minute, John Adams the president? Yes, John Adams the president. Five pillars of aristocracy. Oh, okay, wait a minute. So both Hamilton and Jefferson believed an aristocracy should rule, but it depends on what kind of aristocracy. So you have Hamilton on the left, they're saying a rich and well-born aristocracy based on birth, wealth, and status. And Jefferson favored a national aristocracy based on talent and virtue. Any way you look at it, an aristocracy. Interesting. And then as we go deeper, we see Jefferson, who wrote, "All men are created equal," yet he enslaved more than 600 people over the course of his life. Can we say hypocrite? And yeah, I mean, when I brought this up before, there were some that said, some people got angered by this because their programming is such. Some people want to call themselves patriots that are loyal to the ideals espoused by the founding fathers. Well, all men are created equal. That is great. And yeah, that should be something that we all uphold. But did he? The reality is no. Unless you're going to say that because of skin color, some people are less equal than others. And again, the body is just a vehicle. So again, we can be, of one descent in this life and of another in another life. And in reality, we might not even be human in another life. And again, this does fly in the face of what we're taught in mass. As you look at slaveholders among prominent founding fathers, and you can see there are some very, very Samuel Chase. Wow, Chase, that name is familiar. Chase, mm-hmm. Chase,
yeah,
Bank. Yeah, Chase Bank. Wow. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death, but I still need my slaves.
Indeed.
Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. We see these were presidents. Many of these were presidents. George Washington, of course, Alexander Hamilton, Roger Sherman, Thomas Paine, John and Samuel Adams. All slave owners, all hypocrites. And some will take exception with that. But it's the reality. How can you defend slavery at any time? Oh, well, it was common practice in those days. It was evil in those days. It's evil today. It should never be, period. You can never justify something that's evil just by saying, oh, well, everybody did it. I guess it was okay. No, that doesn't work that way.
I know we all have a spacesuit that we came down here to be in and have an experience in. And to look at that spacesuit and decide who is what inside of that spacesuit is absolutely absurd. And it's something that, you know, we are working at it as we come together, as we co-create, but we can't really see it unless we really shine a light on it. And so many times when you shine that light on the darkness, it dissipates.
Eminent domain is the right of governments, like the United States, to usurp private property for public use following fair compensation, everything from airspace, land, contract rights, to intellectual property is subject to eminent domain if a case can be made for its public use. The legal debate surrounding unfair invoking of eminent domain, such as when property owners are not fairly compensated, is called inverse condemnation. Both an entire property and a partial property can be seized, as well as potential for a temporary seizure. There have been some instances when a private property has used eminent domain seizures under the guise of public improvements. And again, nothing that we own is ever ours in this world, because there are governments that will take it from us. That's just the fact. And these governments have done it in the past. Now, this is something you may or may, you know, depending on how well you guys are versed in our his story. Shay's Rebellion, Sheffield, Mass. As you see, Shay's Rebellion was here February 27th, 1787. It was the result of growing debt, high taxes, and angry farmers in Massachusetts. So when you look, and we might get this idyllic picture that the colonies won their freedom from Great Britain, and all was fine until recent times. People were happy. People were, you know, in love with their government. People did not gripe and complain because the government was perfectly fair and wonderful. No, that's all an illusion. This was an actual battle that happened because people were tired of the taxation. You know, here they are, no representation without taxation. And you have the, you know, Boston Tea Party. And what happens? The new government's taxing them just like the old. There is no change here. What happens is they give people something new to look at, but the reality doesn't change.
So true, so true. And how many times do we just gloss over it and say, well, you know, well, what else are we going to do? We have to choose this or we have to choose that. What we don't realize is the power we have in co-creation. We can visualize an end result that we wish to see and watch that come together. Visualization has power. It has energy that we were never taught about. We were never told. If anything, they tell us energy is just something that, you know, it's just poof, you have energy and it's gone. Poof, it's in the ether. It doesn't exist anymore. A thought, poof, a thought goes away. No, no, no. A thought is a thing. And we all have a lot more power than we think.
So this was an uprising, a revolt, a rebellion of about 1,500 Massachusetts farmers who attacked a federal arsenal. And the causes: economic problems in the U.S., high taxes put on farmers in debt. The state took farms away from the people and auctioned them off. The state took farms away from people. State took people's farms away, auctioned them off, and sometimes put them in debtors' jail. Uh-huh. Massachusetts legislators refused to help. What can we take away? What were the results? Well, people realized national government was too weak. What? What? Talk about, again, you know, always getting the story from the side of the victors. They took people's farms away from them because there was all sorts of economic problems in the U.S., and people couldn't pay their taxes. So what do? They evicted them. Then they sold them off. And then again, the government gets the money from the people's, you know, life's work. This again, look at this date, 1787. This is at the beginning of this country. It was already Well, you use the adjective. Yeah. Again, this is, there's no real change. There's an semblance of change. Is there real change? Have you looked hard enough? Have you looked deep enough? The Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 are, again, many people probably don't even realize this is in here. These are four national security bills were passed amid fears that a war with France could not be avoided. Now, France had helped us, and then in 1812, again, you know, when England came back, and you get the Star Spangled Banner and all that from that. Again, you know, France and England were always at odds, but then again, so were the Sumerian city-states, always fighting amongst themselves. Because why? Because they're greedy. Because everything in this system is all about greed and ego, and it's not about working together. It's not about bettering the whole. This is always, you know, it's again, it is a Darwinian system in effect, dog eat dog. But yet, it's always been the elite and everybody else, always. The Sedition Act, limiting the freedoms of speech and the press, but was by far the most controversial of four laws. What? Yeah, these restricted the rights and actions of immigrants and limited the freedoms of speech and of the press. I mean, this is back at the beginning of the country. We have a limiting of what you can say against the government. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And so we were talking about Shays' Rebellion. Then over in 1794, you have the Whiskey Rebellion. Western Pennsylvania farmers oppose Hamilton's excise tax on whiskey. They refused to pay tax and they attacked revenue officers. So what happened? Washington, President Washington, sent 12,000 troops to put down the rebellion and to ensure the taxation. Same boss. You know, the old boss is the same as the new boss. This is, it's just who benefits from it individually is the difference. You know, we trade one aristocracy for another aristocracy. So, you know, and I don't know if you guys are, how many people are really aware of this. This is all about taxation, the thing that we were trying to escape. And then the new republic taxes the crap out of the people. And then here we also have another one, Fry's Rebellion as well. And again, this was an armed revolt among Pennsylvania Dutch farmers, tax related. And what is the excuse? Again, it's always these wars. It's wars, 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 and more rumors of wars. There's never been a time when there's not wars in the last 6,000 years. War is a great excuse to put in all new laws. And here in 1933, that was the year that King Kong became a movie, remember? Yeah. 1933. Oh, we also have the rise of somebody in Germany at this time. And under the executive order of the president, all persons are required to deliver all gold bullion, and gold certificates now owned by them to a Federal Reserve Bank. Yes. Criminal penalties for violation of executive order, $10,000 fine or 10 years of imprisonment. Your governments have always enslaved you. Always. It doesn't matter if you're in Russia, China, the US, the UK, England, the Ottoman Empire. It doesn't matter. This has always been the system. Oh, this is from MSN via the Boston Globe. Why a bigger IRS is good for America? No, it's not. As they were talking about doubling the size of the IRS again, this is more of the same. You remember this disinformation czar? Remember her, Nina Jankowicz? Well, she's now a registered foreign agent. Wow. This just tells you, because who does she work for? She work for the people? No. Elites. Hello. It's the same elites. We could label them all different things. You know, the lords and ladies up in their castles, the royals. Again, we could even call them Democratic Republicans. We can call them Federalists. We could give labels. Labels don't matter. The labels change. The faces change, but the system never changes. So yeah, that's her address. International House over in London, UK. But these people are just people, albeit they might not be too warm-blooded at times. But hey, you know, guys, we got to look at them with a sense of realism. Let's watch that again. Yeah, he's going to pick a daisy for his lady. But, oh, I guess it just all depends on when he's going to give it to her.
At least there's no brown spot.
Oh, my God. Again, if we want to lift our hearts, look to all that Mother Nature, the creator of this universe, has given us. You know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And we can have unity and we can rise above it. We have to realize, though, if you change one outward semblance of a system to another outward semblance of a system, you're not getting anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. There's no real change there. It's refusing to participate in the system en masse that's going to end the system.
You know, I mean, they have these systems set up, you know, oh, go vote because your vote counts. And every day we look at that illusion about our vote counting and they say, well, something went wrong here, but don't worry. We're going to do something in court. Yeah, we're going to file some papers. Don't worry. We're going to right the situation. So every single day, it just gets more and more infuriating. And if we don't like the system, we need to stop holding the system up.
Yeah, and recognize that rebellions have been used to impose stronger reforms, so to speak. Again, go back to that little slideshow. Oh, gosh, what did this rebellion show us? That we need a stronger federal government. In other words, we need to make it so there can be no rebellion. But again, What violent revolution has ever lasted 1,000 years? They give you that 1,000-year kingdom in the Bible and everything to look forward to, 1,000 years of peace. Well, you know, peace is not going to come from necessarily violence, because again, everything, there is a law of cause and effect. You know, there is karma. It's real. They get by this law of karma. They're very good at this because they've done this for so long. Again, they know how to sidestep so many things. But they get us to induce that negative karma. Now, if you did have 50-60% of the people all saying, we're not paying any taxes, we're not recognizing, we're not going to utilize your currency, we're all going to figure out a way to barter and trade, and we're going to ignore you. And that's when you could have some serious change. It's going to start at a local level. It's going to start in small pockets. If you look to the Hopi prophecy, we are the ones we're waiting for. And it's going to be people coming from all different countries, all different ethnicities, all different backgrounds that are going to start to say no to the system in pockets. And they're going to escape the system. And the system is going to look to oppress us. It always does. That's just their very nature. They're oppressive by nature. As abuse runs downhill. Absolutely. And it runs for generations. And if you are believing in a system out of fear of the belt, you know, or whatever it is, when you spoke up as a little kid, don't question me, right? Or you know what happens, there's no love there. There's no love there. That's just fear. That is just fear. And that's exactly the tactics they use. So again, hopefully some eyes have been opened to the real background of this system that we find ourselves in.
Indeed.
As always, guys, thanks for your support on Patreon and Ko-Fi. Much love. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.